meeting to order, first monthly meeting of Port au Port Towns Commission, and a public hearing concerning the 2013 Comprehensive Scheme of Harbor Improvements, Wednesday, December 11th, 2013.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's been one addition to the agenda that I know of, and that'll be under new business item number D, the drawing for the Pacific Expo haul-out contest. Is there any other additions to the agenda?
Not from staff.
Then I move that the agenda be approved as amended.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
The public hearing for the Port of Port Townsend's 2013 Comprehensive Scheme of Harbor Improvements Update is now open. All persons wishing to be heard should have signed in at the sign-in table. If you have not done so, please do so now. The public hearing will proceed in an orderly fashion. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. Anyone making comments should first give his or her name and address. Please speak slowly, clearly, as proceedings are recorded. In fairness to all in attendance, each person will be given an opportunity to address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes. I'm requesting that commissioners hold their questions of the public until everyone is finished. This is the time for presentation of testimony. No debate is allowed. Before hearing from members of the public, I'm going to introduce Eric Caves, who will make the staff presentation.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I think you indicated this in your brief comments, Mr. Erickson, but no action will be taken today. This is just a hearing to accept public testimony on the draft comprehensive scheme. Any further action, if the commission chose to adopt, would likely take place by way of resolution at its December 23rd special meeting. The proposal before you today is really an update to the 2003 Comprehensive Scheme of Harbor Improvements. That document, now 10 years old, was really an integrated draft and final environmental impact statement and comprehensive scheme. We have conducted state environmental policy act review on this update to the comprehensive scheme as well. A SEPA checklist was submitted to the port's responsible official on November 22nd, including a supplemental sheet for non-project actions. Larry Crockett, Port Executive Director, in his capacity as the Port's responsible official, issued a determination of non-significance and notice of action of existing environmental documents on November 25th. And in essence, what he did by way of that DNS and notice of adoption was to adopt and incorporate by reference within his decision the environmental review that was conducted 10 years ago, because the nature and scope of the changes to this document still broadly fall within the umbrella or the scope of the environmental review conducted at that time. So accordingly, the environmental record before us today consists of both the draft and final EIS for the 2003 comp scheme, as well as the checklist prepared for this proposal. The comment period that was provided for the determination of non-significance lapsed yesterday at 4:30 p.m. and only one comment, SEPA-related comment, was received, and that was from the City of Port Townsend, and I have copies of that for you. You just pass that on, please. even though the comment actually was received by way of email yesterday prior to the deadline, even though that's date stamped today, because that's when we received the physical copy. So the matter before you is adoption of a revised and updated comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements. And what the port is proposing to do is to adopt this updated comp scheme. And with several minor exceptions that I'll describe, this document sets forth basically the same facility development priorities as the port's 2003 comp scheme, but does so, at least attempts to do so, in a streamlined and simplified format. The revised document simplifies, clarifies, and updates the narrative of the 2003 comp scheme while largely continuing the development of the port's properties in a manner that's consistent with the what were known as the preferred alternatives set forth in the integrated scheme and EIS that was issued in 2003. However, there are a number of substantive changes that both the commission and public should be made aware of. First, this document seeks to incorporate and integrate the goal and policy guidance of the 2010 strategic plan that the commission adopted, including the port's mission, purpose, values, vision, and strategic goals and policies. And the purpose behind this integration is to attempt to begin to assure better alignment between the port's stated policy objectives and the capital spending priorities of the port. Throughout the document, facility descriptions have been updated to reflect projects that have been completed over the past decade. So all of the existing conditions narratives throughout the document have been updated to reflect more recent information and the successful implementation of projects called for 10 years ago. However, in several instances, the facilities that are identified, as well as the associated development plan for each, has changed. You'll doubtless remember that the port, through its settlement deal over the Cotai litigation, deeded the Cotai Lagoon property to the city in exchange for Union Wharf and City Dock last year, or actually earlier this year, that deal was finally consummated. So accordingly, the Cotai property has been removed, and the Union Wharf and City Dock facilities have been added to the comp scheme. Notably, in 2011, I believe it was, the port completed a feasibility study for the Jefferson County International Airport Eco-Industrial Park. And that included both sort of course level environmental review as well as order of magnitude cost estimates for the development proposal that was ultimately approved, at least in concept, by the commission. So this document has been revised to include reference to that facility as well as the cost estimates. And finally, because of uncertainty as to the future development plans for the Quilcene facility, we essentially in this document indicated that a process will be undertaken in 2014 to work with the Quilcene community to identify an acceptable long-term development plan for that facility, and acknowledge that the comp scheme would need to be amended again at that time once agreement was attained on how best to proceed. In sum, the comp scheme before you seeks to make as few substantive changes as is possible. And the reason for pursuing it on the timeline that we are is twofold, really. Number one, to ensure, as always, transparency in the expenditure of public funds for new capital projects, but more importantly, to put the port in a position to apply for and potentially obtain boating facility grants during the next biennium. As it stands now, with a 10-year-old comprehensive scheme, we would likely be ineligible to seek grant funding next year with the current document. So our hope is that with this document, we'll be in a much better position to pursue grant funding, but also acknowledge that there will be a need for the new commission to review and potentially substantially revise this document to ensure that it reflects their capital priorities. Thank you.
And I think that's a critical point that we all should understand. A lot of times, people who are involved in government, citizens, will look at the city and the county with their comprehensive plan, both of which are doing their updates starting in 2014. It'll be a two-year process. Theirs is a very formalized, structured system or process of doing that, whereas Port's with our comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements, which is the exact term of the RCW, we can change it next month again, or 2 months from now, or 3 months from now. And Carol has suggested that I think a number of ports have done this now. When we adopt our budget in the fall, we just automatically use that as a venue to update, you know, the comp scheme and readopt it so that we're always current, we're always able to go for grant money, that sort of thing. So
just one final comment to add is that in our review of the City of Port Townsend's comments, I think staff agree with them. They basically relate to ensuring that the updated comp scheme basically is consistent with the city's adopted shoreline master program, and also that it makes reference to the grant agreements that both facilities are subject to, and that we aren't making any development plans that would be inconsistent with the grant agreements.
And I double checked over lunchtime the city's SMP, and I remember we fought this when the city was developing their SMP. They clearly state no new marinas will be allowed in Port Townsend, which I find quite odd given the fact that we pride ourselves on maritime heritage and culture. But they also did adopt that if you create any moorage facility that can handle five or more vessels, they consider that a marina. And what we were looking at with Union Wharf for the seaplane dock and maybe a small ability to take some transient boats downtown, that would be limited essentially to four slips. As soon as you hit number five, that becomes a marina under their definition. But I would take exception, Eric. On the back page, they talk about the with the seaplane with Kevin Harris and his Quincy dock. Yeah, we're not looking at Quincy Dock, we're looking at Union Wharf, which is considerably further down the city waterfront, away from the Maritime Center, because they said Kevin Harris's plan would have interfered with the Maritime
Right.
Center's ability to put in moorage buoys. Well, we're another, you know, 400 yards further away, and I don't think there's any conflict there. So,
great.
But anyway, the rest of the...
In sum, I think we would come back to you with a slightly modified draft that incorporated language ensuring consistency with the grant agreements regarding both facilities, as well as ensuring consistency with the Shoreline Master Program. And that's all we have.
The city had identified a noise issue too, which might be present in the
the seaplane.
They do make a lot of noise when they
this is one thing. When I first got here, this was there was a big push to get a seaplane dock. We looked at it a number of times. Of course, back then we didn't control City Dock and Union Wharf. There was actually a plan, they call it the Marina X plan. Now, this was prior to the city's SMP, to create a small marina and seaplane facility right in back of what is now the Quimper Mercantile, that strip mall. Mm-hmm. You know, a small, you know, 40 or 50 slip transient marina, you know, so that boaters could be right downtown and everything, and that never went anywhere. But this has been on the books for a long time, you know, the concept. We've had some fairly dangerous situations where seaplanes have come in and come right into the commercial basin to offload their passengers. And you just can't be mixing aircraft in a marina like this in a safe manner. And so, do whatever happen, I don't know. It's not high on the priority list, but,
yeah. Should we get some more chairs out?
There's a chair right there that's available.
Three chairs open.
Yeah, that one's not sitting in anybody's, I mean, it's not reserved for anybody.
Very well, then. Thank you, Eric. We will proceed with comments from the first person on the list, and that is Bertram Levy.
I reviewed the harbor improvement, and I wasn't clear that the description of the Hadlock marina was actually up. Was that updated, the Hadlock ramp? It seemed like it was not realistically describing what that facility is all about.
Actually, I think I noticed that too. The picture showed the handling dock in place. I don't believe that's there anymore, is it?
I think that it's a possibility that the pictures could be obsolete, but mm-hmm. we did update the narrative.
The float?
The float that's right adjacent to the boat ramp, you know, that you'd hop off and...
No.
No.
It's gone. Not the one adjacent to the boat ramp.
The other one, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, the other one. Yeah, some of those things. I noted that too. Very alert.
Thank you.
There being no further testimony, I will close the public testimony portion of the hearing. It is now in order for the commission to discuss this matter and to make a motion to take action or postpone.
You know, the other thing we need to go back in, so I got the update on my computer right here, and we still got to go back in and get some of the cleaned up, some of the line outs and that sort of thing, too.
So this time we're supposed to talk about what we found out?
Basically, yes.
Okay. Well, I was reading through it, and I think, by the way, it was a very good idea. I didn't realize you're going to be including the comprehensive strategic plan in it, but I'm glad you did, because I think that it's nice when you can see that the comprehensive plan that was worked on by so many folks actually gets put next to something where we're actually going to do things. And so one thing I noticed, though, and I didn't have time to go back and check in the comprehensive plan, but, and this is on, I'm not sure how many of you are following along, but this is in, page 3-1. It's talking about, to the extent consistent with maintaining public safety and limiting port liability, to maintain an open boatyard at the boat haven and open marinas at both the boat haven and Point Hudson. If access control becomes necessary, restrict access incrementally in relation to risk. I don't remember putting those qualifiers in there. I think that at least my goal when I was in there was to do my darndest to make sure that we didn't end up putting cages on all of the places and the facilities around here. And I mean, I understand that that's wording in there that's designed to, you know, say, well, if we have to put cages on, we can. But I think that I'd like the focus of that to be that, to maintain no cages, no locks, an open thing, because we're so unique, and that's one of the things that I think makes Port Townsend the place that it is. So we might want to look at how that actually came out of the comprehensive plan. I'm not sure if that was worded that way or not.
All of the language, unless shown in strikeouts and double underlines, is identical to that adopted by the commission in 2010.
That means I can't change it, because that's what the comprehensive planner said.
No, you can change it.
Well, I mean, no. Well, changing the comprehensive plan, that was a plan that was developed by a group of citizens that got together, and what they gave us is their plan. And so realistically, I don't want to change, but, I mean, I can't say that you guys thought wrong, you know, I think you think this. We want to have what they reflected in the plan to be real, so.
I mean, just as a point of clarification, I think it's true that, I mean, there was a citizen work group that you were part of that worked very hard to develop that plan, but it is a commission document. It's adopted as commission policy. So ultimately, the commission is responsible for adopting its own policy.
Yeah, in my mind, we may need to relook at that, just so that we.
What's wrong with the way it's written?
Well, I think that, if, from what I recall, being in the planning process, and let's see, there were, who else was on that? You were on it, Bertram. Is anybody else in here on it? I think that we were wanting really desperately to protect the openness of the waterfront, and this kind of sounds like it's hedging that. As much as we can, we want to keep it open, that's what it's saying. And I think that it was more of a, we'll do everything within our power because this is really a vitally important thing to us, is how I want the focus of that to read. And I mean, I realize it's a small point, but I think that words are important because it drives the focus of what the intent of the whole thing is. And that's the way I saw that intent to be.
Based on my read, I think it does that, but it also acknowledges the realistic, you know, the world we live in, that, you know, should something happen or suddenly we're forced to take some measure to.
Well, we could change the comprehensive plan at that point.
We could change it anytime, so.
But I think Steve's point is a good one, that at this point it's an open marina. And we haven't made any plans to.
The open boat area too.
Yeah, and we haven't made any plans or had the necessity to consider closing it. So until such time as that becomes necessary, it might be nice to delete that.
We've got a few more tenants asked about it. We want
locks and gates.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I talked to one fellow and he said, well, yeah, at Shoshone, we had locked gates and it was very nice. I says, well, why aren't you still at Shoshone? He said, well, it's terrible down there.
It usually comes up when there's a theft on a boat somewhere. And
yeah.
Well, we'll have our first big test coming up when the garbage rates go up.
Yeah,
that'll be the proof in the pudding. Because we may have to lock up the environmental centers.
That's true.
Yeah. And then another one I saw was farther on down. It says, collaborate with marine nonprofits, yacht clubs, and downtown Port Townsend businesses to attract boating regattas, maritime educational activities on port properties. Well, one thing that I thought should be included in that was we should add fishing groups. We've worked really hard and actually been very successful in attracting some fishing from, now that we have Area 9, which is Mid-Channel Bank, is open now to fishing, which it hadn't been for like 11 years. We've suddenly got a big influx in boaters coming here and spending a lot of money, as I can attest whenever I go someplace else, that are spending it here. And that was really manifest this year when everyone was in the swing of things and money was flowing freely from all the boaters coming here and catching fish and buying meals and staying in hotels and stuff. And then we got closed a week early. And I heard the cry from lots of businesses, not just here in the Boat Haven. So I think that is something that we need to add to the group that we're trying to attract here, because they're a very crucial part in times that are odd seasons, like we have the February Discovery Bay Fishing Derby, for example. We've been supporting it in the past. I think we need to codify the fact that we continue to do that. And there's the halibut opening on Valentine's Day and things that happen when traditionally people don't come here, that I think it's important for us to continue to support so that people will come here when the place is a ghost town.
This is objective 2.1, which are
2.2. Yeah, 2.2.
2.4.2.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are jumps. Do you get all this written down somewhere that we can?
I do. I have lots more, but I don't want to take a bunch of time up. Those are kind of, a lot of these things are other just small things, like the Wooded Boat Festival, or is actually the Wooden Boat Festival and stuff like that. Did anyone else catch that? The Wooded Boat Festival. Did anyone else read this?
Spell check. Doesn't identify that.
Okay, so anyway, I guess that's all I have. I guess I really came here to hear what everyone else has.
Yeah, if you could provide that to us.
I will.
Do you have anything, Dave?
No.
I have nothing.
Well, what we'll do, we'll clean this up, we'll get your comment, we'll update the headlock. I was thinking of Matt's Mats for some reason, when Bert brought that up. And then, you know, kind of put a resolution together and have it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Sounds like a winner. So we'll move on to the consent agenda.
So the public hearing is closed.
Public hearing is closed. Move on to the consent agenda. Approval of meeting minutes from November 26, 2013, and the operations reports for November 2013.
Yeah, we approve the consent agenda as presented.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would like to make one short comment based on Doug's comment at my staff meeting Tuesday morning. Is he still got about five more large vessels on the books for this month. And it looks like it'll be the best December ever.
Ever.
And, you know, we'll see how much year comes. So.
And then it's definitely offsetting the small boat yards.
Yeah, the small boat yard is still down.
All right.
It's actually not down monetarily.
Number-wise. Number-wise.
There's more money coming from the small yards, so staying longer.
Yeah, longer projects.
Public comments not related to the agenda.
I am Bertram Levy. At previous discussion, I'm talking about the environmental fee. We have some serious questions about the environmental fee for both the mortgage tenants and the airport. At the last discussion, I presented this and it was, the only response was, well, it costs a lot of money to clean the booms. So I went and I reviewed the environmental log. Larry said it costs a lot of money to clean the booms. Well, as you can see, from this, actually, all of the spills were primarily at the commercial basin of 300 ton. And all of them have been accounted for with the owners. And there have been, most of the spills had no action. So we have some very serious questions about why the fee is levied at all, since the records do not support the surcharge. Secondly, we have questions about why the mortgage tenants and airports are the only group with this surcharge. In addition, the records, based on the records, it doesn't appear to be any support for a 50% increase. What we would like, since Commissioner Tucker said that the budget is just a draft, we would like to a meeting with the new commissioners after the first of the year and before the fee takes effect, so that we can discuss this and you'll have the opportunity to answer questions that we have. And we would like the meeting at 6:30 so that the interested parties could attend.
Well, I think I'll leave that to the new commission when they come on board.
Well, don't we have to decide whether or not we're going to institute those fees at the first of the year, though? I mean, we have to do that in this commission, so.
Well, yes. We had talked about another idea of getting around this, which would not increase the fee
right
to the mortgage tenants.
Well, I think we should.
And there might be some other ideas too.
And, yeah.
And there's, you know, small correction. There's no environmental fee at the airport. But,
yeah. I mean, adopting the budget, I think, included raising the fees at the first of the year.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. So I would suggest that what we do is just not raise the $5 environmental fee, and then have it. Well, yeah, and then just look over, because I'm thinking, and it was brought up, and I think rightly so, that other people can contribute to that too that don't right now, and that'd be like transient boaters, and of course the boat ramp users, they could probably contribute to that also. So I think that we could probably relook at some other fees. Because unfortunately, the environmental is not going to go away. It's going to get bigger for all of us, and we don't operate in a bubble, so it has to be funded, and we just have to figure out the equitable way of doing it. So I would suggest that we just, if it's all right with you two, or if we are agreeing, that we can just not raise that fee until after the commission convenes, and then we can discuss the proposed alternatives or different fee structure for the environmental next year.
We've brought the thing that worries staff more than anything is with the county raising their fees at the landfill. You know, it's interesting with our new building where it is, almost on a daily basis, we catch people, non-boaters, non-boatyard people, just citizens in the community, driving up to Enviro Centers and dumping their household garbage.
You see it every single day.
And it's going to cost us, the port, a lot. And, you know, the few people that we've been able to race out there and stop them and ask them what they're doing, they all say, well, we're taxpayers, we can do this. And, no, you can't. This was built for our boaters and tenants, not for citizens. But, you know, it's going to really
rear its ugly head when they raise the rates 28%. But then, as far as delaying fees, I sure don't have a problem with that. That makes perfect sense, because we really, up until a short while ago, didn't have any way of really even knowing how much money we were spending on environmental fees. And most decisions regarding raising environmental fees were arbitrary, because there was no facts to base it on.
Right.
So, like I said before, when we were going through the budgetary process previously, you know, let's try starting with a flat budget, not just including into our budget draft document these increases, which we think are going to be necessary because the cost of living index goes up every year and the price of gasoline and everything else. And, you know, so... Yeah, I don't have a problem whatsoever delaying the implementation of increased environmental fees.
And if you remember, you directed staff to come back after the first of the year with a review of all the other fees.
Right.
If there's anything that needs to be changed or whatever, so we could just, you know, incorporate to that review, put the environmental fees into that review with everything else. And
right, which as time goes along should have more adequate meaning into how we do set the rate structures.
Yeah. Well, the environmental costs need to be recovered.
Right.
And it's more than just the spills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we can identify where the costs are from and the cost to charge to that areas, that would probably be more appropriate. But I don't know. Do we have it lined out to where we know what our environmental costs are?
Well, we have the system set up now as a separate cost center. And as the months go by, you know, that data become better and better refined. But we're a lot better now than we were a year ago.
Yeah, does that include the owls?
Yeah. And just like this past weekend, middle of the night, Pete Parrish, our security, smelled diesel down at Point Hudson, and Doug Lockhart came in, Al came in, plus all the follow-up. Ended up being non-recoverable. We don't know what boat it came from, but it was a spill, and yeah, we had to inform the Department of Ecology and all that, so we probably spent $500, you know, on overtime and staff time, just doing that, so that all adds up over the course of a year.
So that was probably a marina tenant.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
So
yeah, somebody belched, you know, something, and so we all, you know, in trouble when the wind's blowing. It could have been the other end of the marina, and it blows down the other end. Yeah. So.
But eventually, I would think that the cost should be recoverable.
Just so you're aware, through October of this year, there was a net loss in the environmental department of almost $32,000. Just in the tracking that we've started in place for 2013.
From when?
2013, for the first 10.
For the entire year?
Yeah, through the first 10 months of 13, that's a net law operating loss of 32,000.
With all due respect, we would like a frank discussion of this at a meeting, because we have questions about the very existence of the environmental fee. And as if I remember from my discussion with you, Amy, a lot of that was due to the venture that, in the shipyard, that was the derelict vessel that was pulled out.
The fee, I mean, the expenses.
Pardon?
Yeah, the expenses that are going in there are salaries and wages, contract services, operating supplies. So there's lots of different expenses that are going into that department.
Yes, well, we would like a frank discussion on the agenda.
Well, we may have a workshop on that, yeah.
I think that's what the commission is saying they're going to do. Actually, I think it's going to be several.
Yeah, it's probably a lot.
This ain't going to handle one meeting.
I think we're going to talk a lot about this next year.
Yeah, some, you'll need to make a motion to defer implementation of the environmental fee increase.
What do you say? I move that.
Could I seek clarification? Is this just for the moorage? We also increase work.
Yeah, I would say just for the moorage.
Just for the moorage.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, second.
Good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Deferred. And on to new business. Team Jefferson EDC contract and scope of services.
It's that time of year again. The contract ends the end of the month here for professional services with Team Jefferson. And also the lease on the building. So staff would recommend that we reapprove and go for another year. Team Jefferson has helped us on a number of cases this year with several property businesses. Either selling to a new owner, looking at new businesses coming into town, all the things you'd expect from an EDC. And we're preparing to do, after the first year, our first annual economic development summit, which will include the other governments and entities, Chamber of Commerce.
Is the city going to be involved?
City. And, correct me if I'm wrong, I understand the city is now opening up to perhaps supporting?
The way I would state that is we've decided 2014 is the year to press that agenda.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm sure the county is still in it.
Yes.
I don't think the county has to readopt as the ADO this year.
We were redesignated for July 1, 2013 through June 30th, 2015.
Okay, so good for the next calendar year. Yeah.
And the county, and we just signed a contract last week for support through that two-year biennium.
I think there's several people in the audience, I think, are here to speak about this, so you may want
to... One thing I'd like to ask, and that is, last time we re-upped this, we were talking about having more communication between us and you as to what's going on and what happened when, and I thought we were supposed to get quarterly updates. I don't remember getting a quarterly update recently.
We missed the last one.
That's why I don't remember. Yeah.
No, we did not do one the last quarter, and that's entirely my fault. Fell off the case. We've done them every quarter. Other than that, we missed the other one. So I'd be happy to speak it for 2 or 3 minutes on this. Or
yeah, I think there's several.
Yeah, I think you guys should go ahead and speak.
Right, yeah.
I can pass a few of these around. I'm Peter Quinn, the executive director of the EDC Team Jefferson. With me today also is Marty Gay, who is the chairman of our board, and Bill James, who is our secretary treasurer. Our vice president is unable to make it due to a personal issue. But first of all, I want to thank you, the three of you specifically, because of you 2 years ago, this funding began. and it allowed Team Jefferson to make the segue that they needed to make from WSU into a standalone ADO. And without the port support, that would not have happened in the way it did, or possibly at all. We're currently funded by the county, and as I just said, we just signed the 2-year contract with them for their continued support, as they have been doing for about 8 to 10 years. This year, we also sought and received a grant from the Herbert Jones Foundation in the amount of $25,000 over the same 2-year period. And so that's an increase in funding that's an offset to building business education plans, which we're significantly involved with already. The best way I could describe it is the port's funding of Team Jefferson, and combining that with the current funding from the state and the county is the, I think, the single best use of $37,000 worth of port funds on behalf of economic development. Coupled with that, it gives us a critical mass with which to operate, with which to manage the business, and to be proactive in moving out for economic development. We really appreciate the last 2 years you've done this for us. The building almost kind of turned us in a direction of more education as well, because it was a building that could allow for larger meetings. And so we very much appreciate your past assistance and believe we've justified that to you. The first thing on this first page, our overall results, these are the reports that we give to the state every quarter, and that we generally report out every quarter. And this is our, to date, our activities in general numbers. I won't go through them, but they're in excess of all the requirements that we had to the state. The other thing is, our agreement last year with you was, there was a 5-point support-related specific tasks that were requested of us, and they're stated here as to how we reacted to those. The first one was to put together a federal bidding seminar. We did the work. We put the three panelists together. We promoted it through the PTMTA in the paper and through our own e-news, and unfortunately, no one showed up. So I'm not sure. Our recommendation is we should have a different plan. I don't think people want to come for a 3-hour thing on federal bidding at this point in time. We are also asked to assist in developing and implementing a marketing and promotion plan for the facilities, the port properties. And we have worked on two very specific ones in the last 3 months, one of which came to fruition. That's Rocket Transit, which has moved into a space at Ed Point Hudson in the last few weeks. And we're continually working with the port on a potential tenant in the Bohaven at this point in time. So we have those two that we've worked with. The meeting on January 9th, the summit, was rescheduled from November 20th. We set that date and then discovered that the WPPA was that week, and so we had to reset it for a date after Christmas, and that is happening on January 9th. And I hope that will become the beginning of more substantive, probably every 6-month meetings with all the governments and the NGOs that are related to that. Asking us to work on a port a tenant for landfall property. We did work with one substantive tenant, but as you know, there are specific issues with that property, and that have to be met and matched by the desired tenant, and this tenant did not in the end be one that was appropriate for that space. The other was to work on help to obtain funding to construct infrastructure for the industrial park. We did meet with port staff and narrow down the things that we should work on. We agreed that at that point in time, we don't have a plan that can be set out for funding at this point in time. We stand ready to do that and work with you at any level of the industrial park development effort. But at this point in time, obtaining funding without a plan that tells us where to go next was agreed by staff that was not something to move forward with. There are additional direct benefits. We do our business planning classes. We've done 32. We put 32 people through that class. Part of the Jones Foundation grant allowed us to reduce the cost to attendees dramatically, potentially zero if they finished their business plan. They paid it for, instead of $250, they paid $100, and if they turned in their business plan into our satisfaction, they got their full tuition refunded.
Seven of the 32 attendees are members of Marine Trades, and I think they were assisted in that process, and we're very glad to see that ramp up. I think we had three in 2012, and we had seven in 2013. We've had over 30 hours of consulting time with specific Marine Trade businesses and one airport business in this year. The CEO breakfast, which we continue to run, I think it's 11 years now. Larry, the executive director of the port, is a regular and consistent attendee at those, and I think that what I always like to say is it allows us to not have to reintroduce ourselves. You can just say, and by the way, let's continue this conversation. And I think it's been very useful to the CEOs that are participating on a monthly basis with us. I already mentioned that an emerging benefit of this summit that's coming up January 9th is that we believe that we can continue to be effective in helping be a convener and facilitator of government conversations about priorities and timing of issues. And the title of this seminar is The Five Things We Can Do. And to try to figure out not the things that are always in the way that we always say we can't get done, but what are the five things each of us can do to make a difference in the county in the next 12 months. I'll leave the rest for you. We believe we have additional capacities to assist you, and we'd love to sit down with staff and work with you. I think 2013 has been kind of a breakthrough year for Team Jefferson and the port as far as time spent with staff and working together cooperatively, and we look forward to continue to do that for the next biennium. We are the designated ADO for the next biennium no matter what, and we would very much appreciate the port support. And answer any questions or anything.
I do have a question, Mr. Craig. Looking at the EDO from Port Angeles, they have a long list of private enterprise that's supporting them. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Hyatt Park Group, I look at just the port and county and the state. And so I find myself supporting you three times, because I pay a mortgage slip, I pay county tax, I pay state tax. Are you guys going to do anything to get more private enterprise to back up and fill out the coffers here? Well,
that is a model you can use. About $15,000 of the Port Angeles' $170,000 budget is membership related. The past EDCs in the county have had memberships, and I think it's something we can talk about. I think there have been difficulties as a result of that, because there's a quid pro quo that tends to come from, I'm a member, so I want you to work on this. It could be. It did not work out well in the previous EDC, but it is something for us to look for. I think the key to me is that we are the average funding for an ADO around the county outside of King and Kitsap and Pierce or Thurston and Pierce is around $150,000, and we're about $35,000 below that. We're trying to do it with user fees, and we charge a small amount for our classes. And through other grants, like $25,000 grant came from a foundation in Seattle, and that didn't come out of anybody's tax dollars.
You get a tremendous amount of value in the volunteer work that's done. I've done this for about 20 years, and various iterations of the EDC, and our membership-driven EDC, which melted down several times because of conflicting advocacies. Really ugly time. And one of the things I'm proud about our EDC now is that we have made it a outreach goal to change that attitude, change that discussion, so that we don't have these brutal fights about dreams about economic development, basically. And I think that this organization has been instrumental in that. And with your support, it's been a pretty good partnership, I've felt. So I'm here to support it, of course, and pleased if you would.
It's been a good partnership. I think we've gotten good results for the sponsorship that we've provided. And looking at Clallam County's EDC now, which is in a little bit of a turmoil at this time, our EDC is looking all that much stronger for its forward-thinking movement and the work that it has done. So I would definitely be in favor of renewing this contract with the EDC. and make a motion to approve renewing the contract with the EDC in Jefferson County.
Yeah, I'll second that motion. You got comments, Steve?
Yeah, I was gonna comment before we got too far into it. I was involved in the conversation where we're gonna work with a port to seek funding for construct infrastructure that supports, that will get the thing at the airport going. And I was under the impression that all we were after was just like a way to get into it so that people could say, this is it, like a road or something. And I'm not sure how that policy got, you know, I mean, somehow there's gotta be, and I didn't hear any results of, oh, we can't do it, or oh, we can, we're looking at this, we're looking at that, just, but went away and nothing ever happened.
Well, on that, if I can jump in, I think to a large extent, we haven't done our homework yet. Peter was very kind in the way he positioned it. And for the new commission, this is gonna be one of the big ones that we really need to think about. And when you go after grants, if you don't have a focused plan, what we're gonna use this industrial park for, is it gonna be ag related? Is it gonna be other light industrial? Because that would focus where we're gonna find the money to put the road in, to extend the fire flow, to extend power. You know, do we want to do a phased approach where we just do maybe the first three parcels, get those up and ready for construction, and then slowly, you know, build around the circle?
Or do we want a loan, or do we want a grant?
A loan or a grant? You know, we're waiting to see. It's interesting, Linda Rottmark, who's retiring as the Clallam EDC director, has been appointed to the state CURV, mm-hmm. Community Economic Revitalization Board. And that's a pretty serious pot of money for economic development that we've used. That's what built the heavy hauler.
Right.
You know, which, of course, now, you know, counts for hundreds of jobs here in the boatyard. And so that might be something, especially now we know one of the people personally that's on the board that we can tickle. But if somebody asked me, you know, for that elevator speech, what we're looking to do out there, I don't know if I could give that short point to the point. This is why we have this industrial park and what we're going to do. So
I haven't decided what to do yet.
Right. And I think we need to sit down, you know, commission staff, EDC, and kind of really massage this thing and be realistic about, you know, what this community can support and not support and that sort of thing, so.
Well, I guess it just kind of comes back for me anyway to the fact that I was under the impression we were going to be getting some results from some research that was being done by the EDC on getting infrastructure out there wherever it came from. And I didn't get the word back, perhaps because we didn't have a second quarter or a third quarter briefing, that we weren't doing anything. And that's a little discouraging.
Well, the infrastructure there could be different depending on what kind of industry we end up getting
right
there.
And if they told us
an ag-related thing would require a lot of water, a lot of septic, and light manufacturing wouldn't require nearly as much. So
right. It was my impression that all we wanted to do is just get a road in there so that we could open it up and see what we could get attracted there. I haven't yet been able to find the entrance to it to even look at it.
I'll take you there. There's a road there.
Yeah, it's a dirt road. You did cut it there for us.
So there's a motion on the floor to approve this professional services agreement.
And a second.
And a second. All in favor of this?
Aye.
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 Very well, then.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, we're not done with you yet.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, another 3 weeks and all these ways to leave if they don't approve the next one.
Yeah. We thank you for each one regardless.
And so
the
next item on the agenda is the EDC Washington Street building lease.
And we're proposing, and staff recommends, that we approve an extension of the current lease, but to make it a 2-year. Since their ADO approval goes through into 2015. And the agreement is that the market rate is $1,000 a month, but because of the partnership, we're charging $1 per month, but they still have to pay the state leasehold tax on the 1,000. So it is costing them $128.40 a month for that, plus a dollar. And so I recommend that we go ahead and reapprove that.
Just as a point of clarification, it's actually going from a 2 to a 1 year and running concurrent with the professional services agreement. Before they were out of phase, because the EDC has funding through the biennium, basically a June through July type of cycle.
Yeah.
So what we're proposing to do now is to, just for administrative ease and avoiding confusion, to have the two run concurrent with one another.
Is it effective till June 2015?
Well, no, it would be through December 31st of 2014 to run concurrent with the professional services agreement, because it's in essence part of the compensation for the services rendered by the EDC.
Now, will we be out of sync, though, if the AEO status goes through June of 2015? When does the county reapprove?
Well, I'm assuming that they must approve by June
of 2015.
Yes. So, I mean, we can do, you know, a month-to-month or some sort of extension come 2015 if there's any question about that.
Because it is the county's responsibility under RCW to appoint an ADO. But other organizations, they have to open it up for a public, you know, other people to submit proposals, as well as Team Jefferson. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that. Just read it backwards here.
Right.
Dyslexic.
So this would just be for the year.
Yeah, till the end of 2014.
So I move that we approve the lease for the Washington Street building.
I'll second that.
Further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next on the agenda is approval of warrants on new business.
We have the warrants. I call.
They're in the packet.
Yeah, they are in the packet. We just don't have them to sign. Right? Right.
Here's a copy of them, Steve.
Oh.
It's Tucson.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
It's just SP. They're in here.
It's Tucson.
Okay, so we have warrant number 52130 through 52152. In the amount of $114,839.93 for payroll and benefits, and warrants number 52207 through 52265 in the amount of $63,810.62 for accounts payable. I move that the warrants be approved as read.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Then the next thing on the agenda under new business is the drawing for the Pacific Expo haul out. Should we see if Steve can pull one of his fishing buddies out of here?
Do we still have the guy that put in like 50 slips?
No, she took him out.
We should have left one in there.
They did.
And the winner is?
Charles C. Hawks Jr. of Port Townsend and Mixie.
Really?
Charlie? Didn't he win it before?
No, I don't think Charlie.
What's the boat length?
It's 46 or 48.
44. Right. Beam 13.
Sweet. Well done, Steve. Staff comments.
I have provided to Larry for his review a draft just today, so you may not have seen the email yet, a draft social media policy for the commission's consideration after staff takes a look at it.
Yeah, I printed it out. I haven't read it yet. In fact, we need to, Jim and I want to talk to you afterwards. We had a meeting a couple of days ago about a broader look at all of our means of communicating, you know, to include updating our website, social media, and other things. So. Or maybe some other things we'll need your help on.
Okay, and you may see that the policy addresses some of that.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, it's a a real dry legal point, but in a nutshell, the Washington Supreme Court in the last year or so has moved away from what's called the economic loss rule when you look at contract damages, and they've moved toward what's called an independent duty doctrine, and that was really solidified by a decision that came out November 14th. And what that means is that no longer is the court looking to just the four square of a contract to determine what the part, what risk parties have assessed to each other and what duties and obligations they have to another. They will look outside the contract to see if there's any kind of independent duties owed. So what that does is kind of move away from the rule of law and more into an equitable type situation. So what you'll see, the result of that is that we're going to provide draft, it's called an integration and merger clause, and our strong recommendations that be included in all the port contracts, and that will shield you against any of these and keep your bargains to what you actually bargained for within the terms of the contract. So if there's any questions about that. Sounds like
maybe I'll talk to you afterwards too.
There we go.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. The only thing I have, tomorrow morning at 7:30, I'll be at the CEO breakfast. DVD's going to host it this month. That's it.
Public comments?
I heard via the grapevine that there was going to be some discussion about the website. And I'm a content provider with 40 years of experience and 20 in television. I'd like to be sure I give you my card, so if there are options to step into that contract, I'd like to exercise it.
Yeah, we're meeting with, of course, a new commission, and we've probably bounced 20 different ideas, website right. being one of them, and we'll probably be phased in over some period of time. Yeah, make sure we get, I think I have your card, but why don't you give it to me again?
Yeah,
I have to add that
that we
need
to sign on to the MRSC
small works roster, so that you can consider it for small works job.
Could I give you my card so you can send me a link?
Okay. She doesn't have them.
Right.
Also, I'll give you my card.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question for Larry. You can send me an email about getting the Mortgage Terms Union onto the website too. I sent you an email today just to follow up.
Yeah, I saw that, and we're looking into that, and we may actually dump our entire website and start over.
Probably going to do that.
Yeah, it's been a good website. It served us well. You know, we didn't have one not too long ago, but it's technology changes and things get better. We're doing a full look at it.
Commissioner comments. Steve?
On the same line that Larry was talking about, I was really excited going to this communication meeting that we're having to get professional help from our website.
Sound like Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah. It's really exciting because we got some guys who really know what they're doing, and they told us that our website's like an antique relic, and it's really not usable. It's almost impossible to change stuff on it. And one of my goals next year is to get communications just be free and smooth flowing, and so much that it makes people nauseous. But I think that this is a really good step in the right direction, and I'm really excited about it. And also another thing, basically this time is to talk about the other stuff that we went to during the week. I went to an PRTPO, and I always hate it when people use acronyms and they don't describe them, because then nobody knows what anybody's talking about except the guy that said it, and I'm not even sure I know what that stands for.
It's like a regional
transportation organization. So there. Anyway, I'd gone to that thing, and Dave sits on it, and I think Larry sits on the technical advisory board, and I was just me wandering around, and I got approached several times by people commenting on how important they felt the barging facility, which was talked about a long time ago and just remained nascent, but could come up again, would be for our little area. And that's something that was actually included in that talk.
Yeah, we put it in the fact, it's still open for public comment if anybody wants to look at it. It's the whole, it's Clallam County, Jefferson County, Mason County, and Kitsap County. We get together, the elected sit on the policy board, I sit on the advisory committee. We've drafted the next 20-year, you know, it's kind of a 30,000-foot-level transportation plan. And it's open for public comment right now, and this was a...
Is that short-range shipping in there anywhere?
The what?
That short-range shipping proposal that they've been tossing around in Clallam County?
Yeah. And we beefed up our airport a little bit too, you know, some of the... With the idea that we can, at some point, get maybe a traffic light at Prospect and put a turning lane out to the airport on Highway 19. Slow down some of that traffic.
David?
I was just gonna ask Mary if at the CEO breakfast, you could continue to mention the DOE connection that we're attempting to put together.
I'm kind of concerned that a lot of Timmons and Morley both responded they can't make it tomorrow due to other conflicts, but I'll still bring it up.
Well, there might be other players there too, but...
Yeah, PUD will be there, the mill, Indian Island, Chamber of Commerce.
What did you think of the PDD meeting? An RCO?
Yeah, are we going to be a PDD and an RCO much longer?
RCD.
Acronyms, Peninsula Development District and...
Resource Conservation District.
Conservation District. Did they decided to merge as one?
Yeah, they will.
It'll be interesting to watch it play out, I think, to see what they actually do. It's interesting that at the meeting, one of the groups said, we do like 90% of the jobs that actually gets done, and the other group said, yeah, we don't get much money, but we get access to this group of funding or something. And
that's right. And Commissioner Doherty from Clallam County is the one that mentioned that. He's been on the RC&D as well as I since day one.
Right.
And it used to be funded pretty well by the Federal Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 years ago...
They cut them off.
You know, when the budget crisis hit Washington, D.C. Whereas the PDD, although their funding has been decreased, they still have funding through the Economic Development Authority at the federal level. It's two different soap pipes with the feds. So, but he's right. Over the years, the RC&D, which is more ag-centric, they've done dozens and dozens of not real big projects.
But little ones in constant.
Little ones, you know, helping the farmers markets, both in Clallam and Jefferson County. They got a woman over in Clallam up and running with her pickle business. You know, things like that. Not big successes, but, you know, a job here, a couple of jobs there, that sort of thing.
Plus, they got WSU on them.
They got WSU going, and whereas the PDD, although we got some money, you know, for the original study at the airport, industrial park, they just haven't done a lot, even though they have a little bit of money, so he's right.
But it's a good tie-in for, like, the PRPPO barging situation, because you've got Clallam County commissioners that are really interested in this short shipping deal, so you're sitting there at the same table with them. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get those people to the table. They want to form up in little pods all over the room and talk all the time.
A few places where you've got Port Townsend city council members sitting there.
Swim, Port Angeles.
Right, you got David Sullivan from our county commission, but you got the same. You got Swim City Council, Port Angeles. Forks comes to some of those. You know,
the tribes are there.
Tribes are there.
And they're very active.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good forum, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funded to the tune of about $35,000 a year.
About that.
So it pays for a staff member, and a committee without a paid staff member.
No committee.
Usually doesn't amount to much, unfortunately. So, yeah, the RC&D
is going to get some of the PDD's money, which is basically what it boils down to.
And the two committees are about 80% the same people.
Yeah, they're the same folks. But just to keep that WSU lines going, I just don't know how they're going to justify it at the end of the year when it comes time to do their financials, because it's going to be dicey. But I won't be there. Our next meeting will be Monday, December 23rd, 2013 at 1 o'clock here. And there's no executive session today, so this meeting is adjourned.